communication of information by, in, to, or through this show, and your receipt or use of it, one, is not provided in the course of and does not create or constitute an attorney-client relationship. Two, is not intended as a solicitation. Three, is not intended to convey or constitute legal advice. And four, is not a substitute for obtaining legal advice from a qualified attorney. You should not act upon any such information without first seeking qualified professional counsel on your specific matter. The hiring of an attorney is an important decision that should not be based solely upon show communication.
WKCS Falcon Radio now presents In Session, a presentation of the Public Affairs Department of WKCS. This program provides educational information about different areas of law and features Knoxville lawyer and Fulton graduate Jed McKean. If you have any questions about today's show, they can be emailed to wkcs@knoxschools.org or insessionradio@gmail.com. Now, let's go in session.
Welcome to In Session. I'm Lucas Hill, here with Tito Menefee and Jed McKean, and we are back with more of the eviction process.
All right, so far we have talked about the landlord-tenant relationship, how that works, the length of lease, how you pay rent, everything related to that. And I tell you, there are some crazy stories out there about landlord-tenant things. I had one of my buddies who's a landlord and has property here in Knoxville. He said that he had a tenant, a single guy, who was living by himself, and he had three different girlfriends. All those girlfriends found out about each other, went to his house and broke every window in the house, and then broke out every window in his car. And this happened yesterday. He sent me the pictures. Broke down his door, everything. I've had a case personally where I was renting to a guy. He found out his girlfriend was cheating on him. He broke up with her. She broke every window in my house that I owned and burned his baseball cap on the stove eye, which I thought was pretty impressive. But there are all kinds of stories you will hear from landlord-tenant. But today we are going to talk about the legal process and going to court and everything related to it. So if a landlord decides that they want to evict someone, they say, okay, this person hasn't paid rent or I need to evict them, what's the first thing that they should do? Does anybody have any idea?
Would they send them something in the mail?
Yes, that's a good answer. Okay, so the first thing, if it's not related to rent, is that they will have to send them a letter saying, if you don't remedy the problem with the problems within 14 days, after those 14 days pass, I will evict them, or you will be evicted by me. Okay, so if 14 days pass and nothing has changed, what happens next? Tito, any ideas what they would do?
The landlord will show up to their property.
Okay, that might be what you think would happen and that happens very often. They would show up and they say, hey, I want you out of here. But what they actually do to officially get them out is they have to go to the courthouse and file what is called a detainer warrant, okay? And that's eviction paperwork. They have to pay around $120 to do that. And then they have to pay someone to serve it or get it in the hands of the tenant, okay? So you may have heard the phrase, you got served, or something related to that. Does anybody know what that actually means?
I have no idea.
Tito, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, I don't really have no idea.
Okay, so essentially that means that you can't start a lawsuit and you can't get them out of that property until they have been served. And so that just means that the sheriff or a private process server takes a copy, like this piece of paper I'm holding, and says, hey, tenant, here you go. You are being evicted. And then they have been served once that, and even if they say, I'm not taking it, if they get it and then they just drop it on the ground in front of them, they have been served with that paperwork, and then you can get them out of the property. Well, what if the tenant is just not there and is avoiding service? You can, if you try three times to serve it on them, you can tape it to the front door of their house, and then they have been served with that paperwork, okay? So then what happens? So then you actually have a trial in your case, potentially, if you get to that point, if you can't work out some sort of an agreement about, you know, this person's going to leave by such and such a date. Okay. So when does that, so the tenant is not paying, the landlord's trying to get them out of the property, and they have to go to court. Okay. So normally the landlord wants money and the tenant usually doesn't have any. Well, if you don't actually get the paperwork in the hand of the person, you just posted it, you just taped it to the door, you can only get possession of the property. You can't get any money out of them, okay? So where do you go? What courthouse do you go to in Knox County to go to an eviction? Do you all even know where the courthouse is in Knoxville?
No.
No.
Okay. So the courthouse in Knoxville is, and there are two of them, is down by the river on off of Gay Street, okay? There's a building down there that has two cannons in front of it. It's called the Old Courthouse, actually. And you would actually go there. It's in Knox County. The evictions are on Tuesday mornings at 9 o'clock. And one thing I would tell you is, if you wear shorts, they won't let you in the courtroom. And lots of people don't dress up for court. They show up in shorts. And they can't, they're not even allowed in the courtroom. Okay. So you're there at 9 o'clock. The landlord's there and the tenant's there. What happens next? They say, okay, it's the case of Lucas versus Tito. What happens then? You would actually go up and you would both sit at one of the tables, just like as you see on TV. And you would get your turns to put on your proof as to whether you owe rent or you don't owe rent. And the judge may say, hey, do you all have an agreement on this case? Well, you may or you may not, okay? And if you have an agreement, you would just announce that agreement to the judge. Well, what if you say, hey, Jed, you know, that sounds all good and well, but I would rather have an attorney go with me to do an eviction. That way I don't like doing public speaking. I don't like talking of anything like that. How much do you think an attorney would charge you to do one eviction?
I'd say, around $100.
That's a good guess. Tito, what's your guess as to what it would cost to do an eviction?
I was going to say the same thing.
$100. Actually, I bill at the rate of $225 an hour, $225 an hour. It sounds crazy, but that's normal. As cheap as you will get in Knoxville is about $150 an hour, the very cheapest. And if it only takes me 3 hours and there's a filing fee of around $120, you're looking at somewhere between $500 and $1,200 just to evict someone. And you think, oh my gosh, I've already lost. They haven't already paid me all this money, and I'm paying this to get them out. Do I get any of that money back? Do you think you do, or is that lost cause?
That's lost cause.
Lucas, what do you say?
I'll say the same thing.
It usually is. You're exactly right. But if you have in your lease that it says the landlord can recover attorney's fees and cost, at least you have a chance of recovering it. And lots of leases don't have that in there, or it's just an oral agreement between two people. They have nothing written down.
All right, we'll be back with more in session, but first let's take a break.
No matter their age, help your children develop into lifelong readers. This is Barbara Gray, president of the Tennessee Education Association. Reading to your children early and often creates a habit that can last a lifetime. Encourage reading in your home by visiting the library frequently and letting your kids pick out books on subjects that interest them. Feed that natural curiosity with books. Reading is a habit that can spark a lifetime of learning.
A message from the Tennessee Education Association.
Welcome back to In Session, where we are talking more about the eviction process.
So what does the landlord have to prove to the tenant?
Okay, so if the landlord is in front of the judge and landlord is saying, this person owes me money, and the tenant is saying, no, he doesn't. What they will probably have to have there are some records or a piece of paper of where the money has been deposited and where the money hasn't been deposited. Usually the tenant will agree that they haven't paid money, but if they say, well, actually I have paid rent, then the landlord will have to show some sort of bank records where the money hasn't gone in there, okay?
What if the tenant doesn't show up?
Okay, so if the tenant doesn't show up, that's a good thing for the landlord. That means that the landlord will win automatically at trial. They will get what is called a default judgment. What will happen is the judge will say, all right, we've got the case of Lucas versus Tito. Who's here? Lucas raises his hand and, is Mr. Tito here? Is Mr. Tito here? No one's here. So Lucas would go up to the front and the judge would say, do you want this person out of your property? And you would say yes. And you say, how much does he owe you? $1,000. Okay. You've got a judgment for $1,000. And that is all you would have to do, okay, if you the tenant does not show up.
So what if the tenant does show up?
Okay. Good. That's obviously the next question. What if the tenant does show up? That is when you actually would possibly have a trial. They would swear everybody in and say, do you swear to tell the truth? Okay. First person has to go is the landlord. He has to show his case. All right, why are you evicting this person? Because they haven't paid the rent or because the place is always a mess. And how do you know that the place is always a mess? Well, here are some pictures I've taken when I've been on the property and it's, you know, there's trash everywhere. All right, tenant, your turn. What do you say? Well, I say that the place wasn't that messy and I paid the rent. And keep in mind, if they're not represented by attorney, they get to ask each other questions, just like in a trial. There's direct, they answer questions, and then they get cross-examined by the other person. So if Lucas is testifying, then Tito gets to ask him questions, and then vice versa, okay? So then after that, the judge would make a decision about who wins based on that testimony. And, it, you know, if the landlord wins and he says, okay, tenant, you have to be out. Now, the tenant has 10 days to appeal that judgment, okay? And in reality, most tenants are poor people or if they're not paying their rent, they don't have the money to appeal the judgment because you have to pay a bond equal to 1 year's rent. Well, no one has 1 year's rent to pay that. So what that does is it gives them 10 days to move out. Okay.
If the tenant doesn't move out within 10 days, what happens?
Okay. So if the tenant doesn't move out within 10 days, they are in violation of the court's order. And what the landlord has to do is go and get what is called, this is some weird term for it, called a writ of possession. Okay. And what they do is they go and pay $40 approximately at the courthouse. They get a writ of possession, and the Knox County Sheriff's Office will contact them within a day or two and set up a time to go to the property and remove the items from the property. The sheriff will actually sit out at his car, sip a cup of coffee, while the landlord, if Tito is Lucas's landlord, Tito will go there with his friends or people he's hired and remove all of Lucas's property from the premises and put it on the sidewalk and change the locks. What if Lucas is sitting there? What if Tito shows up and Lucas is still in the house? Tough, Lucas. All your stuff's going on the sidewalk. If you want to keep any of it, you better put it in your car and drive off with it, or you better, you know, get somebody to help you move it out.
So what would the landlord do if he need all his money back?
Okay. So you have a judgment. So say, Tito, you have a judgment against Lucas for $10,000. Okay. He owes you a whole bunch of money. Well, people think that the judge is going to hand them $10,000 at the courthouse. That's not how it works. You just don't get that money. And what if Lucas is broke? Okay. He probably is anyway if he's not paying his rent. How do you get that money? And that's the eternal question. When people don't pay me rent, am I ever going to get money? Just like y'all said before, it's probably a lost cause. Well, there's a couple different ways that people do that. If you know that where they bank, you could file a bank levy. And that's, I think, another $20 at the courthouse. And the courthouse will send money. Say you bank at Home Federal. Okay, they will go and grab all that money in Lucas's bank at Home Federal, and they will hold that, and then they will send a check to you for that money. Okay, the other way is if Lucas has a job, they will file a wage garnishment, and they will take a percentage of his wages each week or every other week, depending on how he gets paid, and grab that money and then send Tito a check for part of his wages, okay, to satisfy that judgment. And they will do it like for years until that judgment is paid off. Now, if Lucas quits his job, then you're out of luck, Tito. And lots of people will quit their jobs just to avoid a wage garnishment, or they will close that bank account to avoid a bank levy. But those are the two most common ways. So what we've gone through here is, and guys, catch me if I miss anything here, okay? So you file the eviction, all right? You file it at the courthouse. You have to get someone to serve it on the defendant, okay, via posting or personal service. Then you go and you have a trial, all right? And one way or the other, someone will win. If the tenant loses, and usually they lose, they have 10 days after that judgment to leave the property, okay? Then if they're still in it, there has to be a writ of possession so that the landlord can go back in there. The landlord, after 10 days, can't just go back there and physically beat up the tenant and get him out. They have to file a writ of possession. And then if they want any of their money, they have to file a what is called a bank levy or a wage garnishment. Now, did I miss anything in our steps there that we've gone over?
No.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of the process that we go down. Now, you know, if you hire an attorney, sometimes you're all right. It's a lost cause. But sometimes if the tenant's somebody who actually has a job or, you know, wants to keep a good credit score, you may be able to recover those attorney's fees and court costs from them as well.
So, like, what if you feel like the landlord is taking advantage of you?
And that happens a lot, Tito. And what I would tell you is that when a landlord is taking advantage of a tenant, what I tell people is they need to find a new place to live, okay? Because landlords lots of times come into the property without permission, which they're not supposed to do. They will charge all kinds of money. They won't keep the property in a good condition. And people always say, I don't have money to move. Well, you need to move anyway. Everybody can do everybody can get out of there when it's a desperate situation. The landlord, if they're a bad person, is never going to do right. They're never going to do better, okay? You just need to find a better landlord.
Other than the tenant not being able to afford rent or if the house is messed up, are there any other reasons that a landlord would go through the eviction process?
Yes, and that's a great question. So sometimes I evicted somebody recently because the landlord said, hey, that girl just got arrested for selling drugs. So if there is a condition that is considered a danger to the health and welfare of the property or the other tenants, if they have like a condo complex or apartments, then they can evict them for that reason, okay? Usually it's rent, but there are other reasons, like they're not keeping up the property, or what if they have animals on the property and they're not supposed to? That would be a reason to evict them. Or, you know, if you say, the tenant says, it's just me living there, and then there's five other people living there, that would be a reason to evict them from the property.
Is there anything specific that a tenant should look for in a contract?
Yes, they need to make sure that they know. Lots of times, guys, I see it where it says, okay, the lease is for a year, right? We talked about that. Well, if they are that the lease will renew for another year if you don't give 30 days written notice before the end of the lease. Well, no one remembers to do that. I wouldn't remember to do that, okay? And in writing, instead of just telling them or texting them or something, hey, I'm not renewing the lease, we're going to move out. Well, what you need to do is make sure that you understand what understand is in that lease, okay? And lots of times, these landlords will put in that only the landlord gets attorney's fees if it goes to court. Well, what if the tenant wins? Do they get attorney's fees? Because they might win. And you just need to make sure that what you know and understand what's in there.
Going back to the when you get a writ of possession, it says the sheriff's office will contact you with 1 to 3 days. Is there any other, like, is there a way where they might contact you after those 1 to 3 days, or?
Well, that's a good question. If you have not been contacted within a few days, you're probably starting to panic because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm losing money by the minute because someone's in my property who's not paying rent. So what you need to do is contact the clerk's office and say, no one's contacted me, and hopefully they'll get a hold of you. Okay?
All right. This has been In Session with Lucas Hill, Tito Menifee, and Jed McKeon.
This has been In Session, a presentation of the Public Affairs Department of WKCS Radio. If you have any questions about today's show, they can be emailed to wkcs@notschools.org or insessionradio@gmail.com. Tune in again next time on WKCS for more In Session.